First, though, for the big stories in rural news, Tony Allen's with us. And Tony, some very devastating effects from Cyclone Pam in the Pacific.
Yes, the latest we have from Vanuatu is pretty terrible because 80% of the country's people, that's about 200,000 of them, are subsistence farmers. They grow their own food and now is not a good time for them. The Vanuatu government says all the country's banana trees, most of the coconut palms have been felled. The vegetable crops have either been flooded or uprooted. Thousands of chickens and pigs have been killed. Their shelters have been destroyed. All in all, it's a huge disaster. And the fishing industry is in terrible trouble as well. Australia runs agricultural aid programs in Vanuatu to help families grow things like sandalwood, native nuts and cocoa. Tony Bartlett from the Australian Centre for International Agricultural Research, which runs some of these programs, says the trees will recover quite quickly, but the coral reefs will take longer to repair.
The aquaculture facilities that they'd established, which are located very close to the seafront, will have taken quite a hammering because of the storm surges. It tends to destroy the coral reefs. They eventually come back, but it might take 10 or 15 years for them to recover to the state that highly productive again.
And things aren't too good for the coffee growers either. Now, the island of Tana, which is one of the worst hit, has been growing coffee for more than 150 years, and they were expecting their best ever crop this year. 25% of those beans are imported by Australian coffee roasters too. So the Tana Island Coffee Project's Mike Pohl says there are about 600 to 900 farmers growing coffee on Tana on small plots, and it looks like only about 30 to 40% of the crop can still be harvested.
When they had the last cyclone, coffee was one of the plants that survived because it's a very carbonated plant. It's very, very hard. So it can withstand a lot. The coffee will bounce back very quickly. It's a taprooted plant, so even in the ash, which is what Tana is, it'll be deeply rooted. There will be breakages, but it will spring back like a weed pretty quick.
And we should mention the ABC is working with the Red Cross to raise money to help in Vanuatu, and you can find out how to donate or more about that at abc.net.au/appeals. Now, some work on one of our most isolated farms.
Christmas Island in the Indian Ocean is best known for its immigration detention centre, also has a phosphate mine and currently imports 95% of its produce, and you can spend $15 or so on a cauliflower or a lettuce there. It's outrageously priced. And a bloke called Mark Bennett, he lives on the Sunshine Coast now in Queensland, but was raised on Christmas Island. He's got a company called Hidden Garden Farms, which has a 21-year lease on 54 acres of Crown land on Christmas Island. They're going to grow fresh fruit and vegetables there. Other things too. I think they're going to raise chickens, raise honey, do whatever they can to create fresh produce on that island. The new farm should lower the residents' sky-high food bills.
If you go to a restaurant on Christmas Island and you get a steak and chips and salad, it's often joked that the most expensive part of the meal was the salad. Spot prices for things can really soar, and there has been an incidence where people pay $19 for an iceberg lettuce. You know, it's not uncommon for a family to spend $500 on a weekly fresh fruit and veg bill.
They are amazing figures. Looking at the meat side of that plate full of meat and salad, there is an inquiry into the red meat processing industry.
Yes, well, some farmers think we're paying too much for red meat as well compared to what they get at the farm gate. Senators this week voted to establish a six-month inquiry into the way processors and livestock agents and cattle buyers treat the farmers in the red meat industry. It's partly prompted by a dispute over the selling methods at the new high-tech Barnawatha sale yards in Victoria, where there was a big dispute about whether the cattle should be weighed before or after they were sold, because it did make a difference to how much farmers got paid. This Senate inquiry is going to look into market power in the meat industry, possible misuse of market power, allegedly by processors, and how cattle were sold at sale yards. A wide range of things, really. Quite an open inquiry. And Victorian National Senator Bridget McKenzie says consumers, farmers and meat processors are all being asked to come forward with their concerns.
And if something's going wrong in the way the competitive market is operating, or is regulated, or is not regulated, then we need to absolutely make that right. What we do know is that consumers are paying exorbitant prices, some would say, for their red meat, and that is not being reflected at the sale of the carcass at the sale yards.
It's not an exorbitant price, but is it too cheap, the old dollar a litre milk?
Yes, yeah, sort of the opposite in dairy, where the $1 a litre milk is becoming more and more popular. More than half the milk bought by Australians now comes at $1 a litre. The average price we pay for milk now is down to $1.55 a litre. It used to be fairly much higher than that. And John Droppett from Dairy Australia says this trend is also changing the type of milk we're buying.
The move by consumers effectively away from modified milks, which another name for reduced fat and no-fat milks, towards full cream milk. It's got a lot to do with discounting as well, and the fact that the private label products or the biggest discounts tend to be towards the full cream end of the spectrum, and that also influences people's choices to some extent as well.
Just shows you can talk all about trendy low-cal milk and how good it is for you, but if the full cream milk's cheaper, people will buy it.
Yeah, I prefer it, to be honest, personally. Something that's, tickled the fancy, you could say, of the Prime Minister this week has been onions.
It's certainly tickled his palate. A week ago, Tony Abbott was announcing a freight subsidy in Tasmania. And in doing so, to illustrate the assistance to Tasmanian produce that this freight subsidy would achieve, he bit into a raw onion. That went viral on social media. And Onions Australia, the body that represents growers, got very excited and said this was a marketing dream because all over the world they were looking at pictures of Tony Abbott biting into a raw Tasmanian onion. The chief executive of Onions Australia, Lishel Earle, said this was a chance to convince Mr. Abbott to urge Australians not to buy imported onions, which had flooded the market earlier in the year.
We're genuinely surprised, but delighted about the airplay Aussie onions are getting at the moment, particularly in the wake of drama surrounding US imports. I will be fronting up to the Prime Minister's office with a cooked meal featuring onions so that he doesn't actually have to eat a raw one. And hopefully we can just have a bit of a chat about the importance of the Australian onion industry.
And indeed she did on Thursday. She went to Mr. Abbott's office with a sweet potato, onion and feta quiche, which he did eat, but before he tasted that, he bit into another raw onion. And that got everyone very excited. It's now become the Raw Onion Challenge.
Excellent.
And is going all over the world. So don't expect the frenzy to end anytime soon.
Well, I won't be pulling any such stunts on the program this morning, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony Allen with the week's Rural News. Find those stories online at abc.net.au/rural.